just before the gospel, reading of the gospel lesson today, gospel lesson according to St. Matthew, and any other gospel lesson before reading it, a priest always says a short but very meaningful prayer that unfortunately you don't hear, and it just, you know, came to my mind that you should listen, understand, and adopt this prayer that is beautiful and so meaningful. Illumine our hearts, O Master, who loves mankind, with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee we ascribe glory with thy Father who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. So, a beautiful indeed, short but beautiful prayer that priests always recite before reading a gospel lesson, because it's not only about reading the gospel lesson, it's about understanding it, about adopting it, and about implementing it, or putting it to action in our lives, in our deeds. So today's gospel lesson, my brothers and sisters, is very important, at the same time very difficult for us, not so much to understand, but to implement in our lives. It's a gospel lesson that speaks about forgiving. Unless you forgive one another, you will not be forgiven. This is, if we had to summarize today's gospel lesson into one sentence, that would be one. Unless we forgive, we cannot be forgiven. Not only that, every day I hope and pray that every day we recite in the solace maybe of our home, or maybe while driving our cars, let us find something that is beneficial to our souls to do, and that is always, and of course, and first, praying, talking to God. If you want to have a relationship with God, you have to talk to Him. And the only way to talk to God is by praying. That's what prayers are all about. Last Sunday, our bishop here said that fasting is a sign of our freedom, that we are free from all those carnal desires that this prayer that I just read speaks about. And our prayer is basically and ultimately manifestation of our love towards God. So we have to pray. When you love someone, when you have a relationship with someone, you have a need to talk to that person, right? Without communicating, what kind of relationship would that be? So that's why prayers are so vitally important. So when we pray, when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and so on, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. So maybe without even realizing, we say and we ask from God to forgive us as much as we forgive those who trespass against us. So basically what we're saying is, do not forgive us. You know why? Because when we leave our churches and go back to our lives, we hold on to envy. We hold on to grudges. We judge people. And by doing so, we invite God's judgment upon ourselves. Of course, we have explanation for our actions. Always. We find excuses, right? There is a saying that we are the strictest judges of other people's actions. However, somehow, we are the best advocates of our own actions. Should be the other way around. So of course we'll find excuses. So we'll say, well, Father or whomever, he made mistake. He never came to ask for forgiveness. Why should I forgive him? And the answer is very simple, actually. Whenever we act in such a way, and whenever we use this as an explanation or as an excuse for our actions, we speak about our reaction to someone else's action. So hatred, holding on to grudges, judging other people, most often is our reaction to their actions. However, Christianity, being an Orthodox Christian, is not about reacting to other people's actions, but acting upon your faith, putting your faith into action. So we have to act, not react. So an acting is always forgiveness. There is always a liberation that comes out of forgiveness. When you forgive someone, and it doesn't matter who was right or who was wrong, when you forgive someone, you empty yourself from this content that was stored in your heart, that was eating you from inside. Hatred is always affecting only those who hold on to it, not those that we direct our hatred to, towards. It becomes our spiritual cancer, something that eats us from deep from inside. So it is very important, today's gospel lesson, even though it's difficult for us to adopt it, to contemplate about it, it is very important to understand it and to implement it in our lives. A few days ago, my brothers and sisters, we celebrated the great feast of Transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the Mount Tabor. And it's a beautiful feast. A feast when we remember, but not only remember, but also participate in this divine and glorious event that happened so many centuries ago, 2,000 years ago. As Christ was ascending on the top of this Mount Tabor, he took with himself three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James. And you know how he transformed and only in a fragment manifested his pre-eternal glory to his disciples. But this glory, in this such a small amount, was not even bearable then. So they fell to the ground, not being able to perceive this glory that Christ manifested in his holy transfiguration. But more importantly is what happened after. After they came back to their senses, they approached God. Peter approached God and said, God, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, who appeared and talked to Christ at that time. And let us stay here. Nothing else is important. And they had families. They had brothers and sisters and families and children waiting for them at the foot of this hill, Mount Tabor. Nothing else was important but staying in the presence of this glory. That means staying, remaining in the presence of Christ. This is the task that we have in front of ourselves. We are to always remain in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why our Christian greeting is, Christ is in our midst. Christos posrijedi nas, Christos je među nama. And we respond, jeste I biće. He is and ever shall be. Basically, telling to one another, he is right here. We have to be mindful that he is right here, standing amongst us right now at this moment and every moment of our lives. And also this feast calls us to transform our lives. There's a beautiful Greek word, methania, that tells us that we have to change our inner structure. And how this correlates with this part of my sermon today, transfiguration and calling for transformation, with the first part, is that there can be no true transformation or transfiguration of your lives, of your inner beings, of your inner structure, unless you repent and unless you forgive other people. That's how we start with our own transformation. Be mindful of this, my brothers and sisters. And finally, there's a beautiful monastic story of a monastery that basically explains all of this to us, of a monastery in Egypt somewhere in a desert, full of monks. Everything was fine until a moment and the temptation and struggles happened and befell them and everything started falling apart. Monks would judge one another. There was nothing good happening in the monastery. Everyone was noticing this. It was so noticeable that something happened for worse, unfortunately. So finally, an abbot of this monastery decided to go and seek a counsel with this famous elder that lived nearby in a desert, so holy man. So he goes to this abbot, prostrates before him and says, "Father, I've come to seek your guidance and your prayers." And this holy man replied, "What? How can I help you, my son?" And he starts talking that there is a big division in his monastery, that there seemed to be no end to this, or no resolution that he can come up with. So he says, "I have no idea what to do. I'm desperate. I don't know how to fix my monastery, and there's such a hatred, and monks slander against each other and talk behind their, each other's backs. It's so bad." And this holy man replied to him, "How could that be? I know for a fact that there is a very holy man living in your monastery, amongst you. There is a holy man amongst you." And this abbot was taken aback by this and said, "Who is it? Please tell me, who is it? We have no idea that there is a holy man." And he said, I'm not going to tell you. You have to discover him yourself and nothing else. I have no counsel for you, no advice for you. This is all I'm going to say to you. There is a holy man living with you." So this abbot goes back to his monastery and all his monks there wait for him, and in hopes he'll come with some type of a solution for their troubles. And he tells them, "This elder, this holy man told me that he had no advice for me, but he told me that there is a saint living in our midst here." And they were so surprised, like, "Who is it?" And he said, "He wouldn't tell me, but it's someone amongst us." So from that moment, everything changed. You know why? Because instead of focusing on other people's flaws and judging them for their flaws, from that moment, monks started approaching every single brother monk with love and gently, thinking in themselves, "Maybe he's the holy one. I know I'm not, but maybe that's him. And if I say something or do something or judge him, I'll God's wrath upon me because I slander against his saint." So the message to you and me, my brothers and sisters, is instead of looking for each other's flaws and everything changed and this monastery blossomed in short time, in few months, everything was back to normal. Because they changed their lives. They tried to find what's good. They tried and looked for an image of God in each and everyone that they were surrounded with, instead of looking for something else. It's a message to you and me. Homo homini lupus, Latins, all Latins would say. We disagree. Man is not a man to his fellow brother, fellow man. Man is not a wolf to his fellow man. We are an image of Christ to each other. And this is why when you go to Holy Mount Athos in Greece, monks, when they see you, and you don't have to be a monk, you don't have to have a cassock on. When they see you, they do a prostration before you and see, and they say, I see my brother, I see my God. They look and find God in each person they encounter on their life journey. This is the only way to transform our lives and to emulate Christ and to excel in our life. No other way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.